told me that I should tell y'all that I'm not nervous tonight. And so, we'll go with that. I'd really like to take a moment and thank everybody for helping me and Della out with the meals, the prayers, some baby watching here and there. We really appreciate that. I just want to tell you how much. I was thinking about a lot of different topics and trying to narrow down what the Lord would have me to share, and I just pray that this will move you and that the Lord will apply it to your heart. So let's pray before we go. Our Father, we are grateful for the time together tonight that we can look at your word and just consider you, Father. Consider how great you are, Father, and how much greater it is to know that you sent your Son to die for us. We just praise you for him, Father. I pray my words would not get in the way of the message that you would have the saints to hear. I just pray that it would edify the saints and build up everyone here. We praise you for your Son once again, in Christ's name. Amen. You'll look at Luke 15:1. I wanted to do a parable about the lost son, and then I said, well, I'll look at the parable about the lost son. And then I said, no, I need to do the parable about the lost coin. No, you need to do the parable about the lost sheep. So now we're just doing them all. So that's what we're going to cover tonight. And I'll go ahead and start by reading chapter 15. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors and saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father has killed the fattened calf, and because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. And there came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son was come, which hath devoured by living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And I hope Todd didn't speak on this Sunday, but if he did, y'all have to hear it again. Well, let's start at the beginning, and we come to the start, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't see him hanging with the big guys, the Pharisees and the scribes, but he's hanging with the publicans and sinners. And for some reason in the mind of the Pharisees and scribes, they thought that this shouldn't be, that the Lord should be sitting in some other proper place, that, you know, in their minds was superior to the publicans and sinners. But anyway, the Pharisees and scribes, they said that this man receives the sinners and he eats with them. And then the Lord Jesus Christ told them about the parable of the sheep. And then he talks about what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when I was thinking about the sheep, I was thinking about what was the value of a sheep? And you leave 99 behind and you're going off to find one. But back in the day, I mean, they were used for food, they were used for clothing, they were used for commerce. You know, I trade you a sheep for this or that or the other. And they were especially used for worship. And so the sheep were of great value. And so he had lost his sheep, and he went out and found, he left his other sheep behind. He was not concerned about them because he was just looking for the one sheep. And so he went out and he found it and he towed it all the way back. And when he gets there, he calls all his friends together and he says, hey, look what I got. I have found my sheep. It was lost, but now it's found. And they were celebrating. They were celebrating that he had found the lost sheep. And unfortunately, the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't seem to understand that. And then in verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So the Pharisees, in their minds, they didn't need repentance. What they did, you know, in their righteousness and their self-righteousness, that was enough. They were already good enough for heaven. They were already good for God. They didn't need a Savior. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Savior for publicans and sinners. And then we go to the parable of the coin. And these are sort of short, so I'm sort of running through them real quick. And I was thinking about this one when we talked about the coin. And I know that somebody has done it in here. But this woman has found, she had lost a piece of silver and she sat up all night looking for money. And finally she rejoiced when she found it. And when she found it, she called all her friends together. I ain't never done that when I found some money, because usually my friends would want to take it from me. He brought the friends together, and for some reason they rejoiced. They was excited. They were happy. They were filled with joy that this lady found her coin. Now, has anybody ever left $5 in your coat pocket and forgot about it? And 2 weeks later, you know, you didn't have a dime for lunch or something, and you just happened to stick your hand in your pocket and pulled out a $5 bill. And you all rejoiced, you know. But we didn't go out hunting for $5 bill. It's almost like the Lord was saying, hey, I'm going to save you this for you for another time, because you're going to need it on that day that you're broke. And so, I just was thinking about that it said that there was joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repenteth. And so, in this session, all the angels, they were rejoicing that one sinner had repented. And then we come to the prodigal son. And this is this is probably one of my favorite parables that was ever written. And, because it's got a lot of good stuff in there. And in 12 it says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And when I was checking out some of the commentaries, it really struck me as to when the money of the father, as far as the division of the inheritance and who got what. But what I wanted to do was with everybody would close your eyes, and I wanted to read this to you and to think about this son coming to his father to ask him for this. The man says, Father, I am tired of the life that I have now. I want a new life. A life where I can do as I please and indulge on the things of this world. I know I'm supposed to wait till you are unable to manage or your death. But I can't wait. I need my portion now. In essence, I wish you were dead so I could go on with my life. And as I thought about that, that's what his son was saying. I wish you were dead. I want my portion now. I want to go on out in the world and forget about you and forget everything here and go on with my life. I wish you were dead. And that's what the commentators were saying, is that the son, in essence, was saying that. I wish you were dead. I couldn't imagine saying that to my father, and I don't think y'all could imagine that either. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey and went off into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And it was interesting about what the father did. He said, okay, here's your part. Go ahead. Take your inheritance now and go on and leave. That's fine. And when I thought about that, I was brought to the scripture, Romans 1:28. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So he was letting his son go on out. He was letting him go out and do that. And later on, as we see, I'm sure that this father was praying for his son. I'm sure that he was hoping that God would say, somehow, speak to his son and help him to realize where he needed to come back to, where he needed to be. But he gave him what he had, what his portion was, and he let him go. And this, the thing about the disobedience thing with his young son is, I mean, that could be any one of us here before we accepted Christ. We could go as far into sin as this man did. And some of us probably were. I don't know where you were when you came to know Jesus Christ. But I just praise the Lord that He brought us out. He brought us out of that life. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So he was at the end of his rope. He needed somebody, and he knew it. He was starting to think about it. There's a famine in the land, and he got no money. So I'm going to just go and get me a job. I'm going to get me a job and work for this citizen of the country. And he was ordered to go out and feed the swine. And another thing there is feeding the swine, that's about as low as you get. I don't know if y'all ever been over to, where is it, in Burlington? And, on 87, going by, what's that barbecue? Hershey's Barbecue. And they got all them pigs sitting out there. It's something nasty. It's disgusting. I mean, for a non-Jew, it's disgusting. But God said that the worst thing, God didn't say this, I said this. Worst thing a Jew could do, be responsible for pigs, which was considered a filthy beef. Deuteronomy 14:8. And the swine, because it's divided the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcasses. So, I mean, this is the worst thing he could be doing. And he's down there with them, feeding them. And then he was so hungry, he was looking down and seeing what the pigs were eating. And for a minute, the thought came to his mind, man, I sure am hungry. And as terrible as that mush looks, it sure does look good to a hungry stomach. So he knew this was too far. This is too far. I ain't going to bend this low. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be. And when he came to his sense, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? So he's sitting there thinking, and all of a sudden, the memory's coming back. Ain't nobody at my dad's house starving. Ain't nobody at my dad's house out here feeding the pigs. They don't even have pigs. But and one thing that's interesting, and I like the NIV's version of, and when he came to himself. In the NIV version, it says he came to his senses. He came to the understanding that where he was not where he needed to be, and he could be in a much better place. And so he says, you know what, I'm gonna get up. I'm going to rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I can see him now standing before a mirror going, Father, I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned again. I can see him rehearsing this in his mind. And I can see him saying, and then he says, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. A hired servant. He knew he'd done wrong. He knew that he had let his father down. And in his mind, I wonder what he thought as he was going back home and he was thinking to himself, what is my dad going to do when he sees me? Is he going to hit me upside the head with a hammer? Is he going to tell me no? Just go away. just go away. But it really worked in his heart. He says, he humbled himself. He said, I'm not going to go back and try to be a son. I'm going to go back and try to be a servant. And I'll work as one of his servants. I don't even believe he would let me come back and be a son. But he might let me come back and be a servant. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him, and he had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I can remember one time that I'm not real proud of. I remember Dad had an old beat up pickup truck, and one night it was pouring down rain. And I ain't even got my driver's license yet. And they had a dirt road, and we was driving up and down a dirt road. And I had wrecked the truck, and it broke down, and it was mud everywhere. And my dad looked at me one day, that day, because I had took off and left him. I left him out there in the rain. I left him out there to get the truck out of the mud, to work on the engine, to get everything, and to bring it back home. And I remember how disappointed he was when he hit the door. And I can remember, that was the first time I ever heard my dad say, I wish you weren't my son. And it just ripped me apart. But of course, that didn't last long. He forgave me for it, and he was a good dad and all. But he didn't run up on my neck and tackle me to the ground and kiss me on the neck. So, the fathers, you got to be, be ready for them times. Be prepared. We're not supposed to provoke our children to wrath. We need to be prepared like this father was. And like I said, I'm sure he was praying for his son. I'm sure he would. I couldn't imagine the joy he had. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Dad, I messed up. I took all the money and I spent it. I blew it on the wild living, and I come back. I just want to work to eat. You shouldn't even be able to call me your son anymore. And the father said to his servants, he didn't hesitate at all. Bring forth the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And he's been down there with them pigs. He's pretty nasty. So, he got him a bath and got cleaned up and everything, and he's doing good. And he said, bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. He wanted to rejoice. He was filled with joy. And he says here, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. He came to his senses. The son came to his senses. And he came back to the father. And the father accepted him. In Acts 26:18, it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The son received back his inheritance. And when you look at us and you look at our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we were the son that came back. Oh, please just let me be one of those guys that opens the door in heaven. Oh, please let me be just the guy that sweeps the floor. No, God don't say that. God says, you are a child of mine. You are sharing in the inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where I had the most difficulty. Because this eldest son, he's got problems. He's got issues that probably some psychologists couldn't handle. His eldest son was in the field. He's out there working. You know, and I can see him coming up there. He's been working in the field and he's sweating. He's like, man, I got to give me a drink of water or something. You know, he's coming up there and all of a sudden he hears all this music and partying and everybody's having a good time, and he's like, what in the world is this? And so one of the servants come up, and he asked what was going on, and then he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. So he was telling him, you know, this is why we're celebrating. The son was dead. He's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. But a true brother, you would think, would be, yeah! You know, little Joe's back? Yeah, that's great. I'm happy for him. But no, he was angry. He was mad. And he was bitter inside. He was mad because, you know, what about me? Hey, look, I've been out there in the field, even today, sweating. Where's my lamb at? Where's my big party with my buddies? You never gave that to me. Well, the father, he goes outside and he says, you know, I'd really love for you to come in, son. I would want you to come in to the understanding that your son, that your brother is back. He was lost and now he's found. I want you to come in and share. I want you to have a piece of that. And then all he can think about is, you know, I didn't get my kid. I didn't get, you know, my party with my friends. And I ain't broke no laws against you, Father. It just is how much the sorrow of the father. He just found one son and he just lost the other. He thought because of what he's done, just like the Pharisees and the scribes, that for some reason he was supposed to get something that they weren't supposed to get. They thought that, you know, we got all this down. We got the law. We've been doing it by the book. I'm entitled to be in heaven. But no, Jesus, He made it where we all could be in heaven. And you know, the scripture says that they come to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. He came to them. No, we don't want no part with you. And so now he's over there with the Gentiles, and now they're griping and complaining about it. Let me see here. And this verse 31, and I looked at several commentaries, and I couldn't, and maybe one of the elders or somebody can come to me later and explain this one to me. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And I had a difficult time trying to understand that verse because it makes it sound like they had it. But they didn't. So it's maybe y'all can help me with that later. When I looked at the commentaries, you know, sometimes you get the parts of the commentaries and it's, for some reason they skip over or they don't go into what you want. And I said, you know, y'all didn't really answer that one. And finally it says, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And I won't go into that because I already covered that. And when I was thinking about this parable, it kept, for some reason, it was flipping me back to Luke 18:10. The other parable about the two men that went up to the temple to pray. And the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For even one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. I was trying to consider a way that we could apply some of this to today. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, actually there's no reason to be built up with pride or self-righteousness because you ain't done nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ done it all. There's nothing that we can do for ourselves. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. And you know, sometimes it, you may see in the body somebody that might be a little bit more advanced than you. You might see somebody that might be acknowledged more than you. There might be someone who was praised more than you for something they did. It might be a ministry work. It might be working in Sunday school. It might be preaching a message. Whatever it might be. You can do two things. You can either do like the eldest brother and stay outside, or you can rejoice with everyone else that this person's done a great work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do that. If you got a problem with your brothers or sisters, you're supposed to go to them. You're supposed to make it right. And that's the problem with the elder son. He didn't make it right. And so he ended up being left out, bitter, cold, heartless. And then for unsaved folk, come to your senses, like the first son did. Realize, just like the first son did, he can't make it without his father. He couldn't make it without his father. We can't make it without our father. And unsaved folk, you need to get right with your father. And I will promise you that if you approach God and you accept his son as your Lord and Savior, he will embrace you just like that other father did.
and that's it.